You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. I'm joined by Don Longbeard, and we are joined by the Truth Seeker, who is here to regale us with some insights from his brand new book and just incredible spirit world. You can find it on Amazon. And welcome back to the show, brother. You're on hour number two with us now. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Doing well. Hanging out with the chat here.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a great community. We have an amazing chat community. All these individuals have just been such a big part of the show, and they just got all this wonderful love and support for everybody. So I'm so proud of them.
Love them.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. So getting back to the some of your experiences, mm-hmm. You had said now you've talked about the spirits when you were young, being pinned down. You were talking about seeing a craft in the sky. You're talking about the lights. Take us through a few more of your experiences with the paranormal, if you don't mind.
Man, it's really it's a daily encounter with what I call God, right? I mean, mm-hmm. other people call it different things, but
sure.
This song and dance with the spirit realm and kind of getting into psychic phenomena, mm-hmm. ESP, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, being able to hear in the spirit. Now, there's a difference between, like, in the Christian verbiage, sometimes we use, like, God is telling me this about you. Mm-hmm. Like, God is telling me that you have this on you versus, like, the other ways of putting it, being able to discern spirits that are on people. Stuff that people are going through, people are dealing with, dreams and visions and trials and tribulations that people are going through, being able to feel it. I mean, we call that being empathic mm-hmm. now. And so many people are actually identifying with those terms and yeah. being able to pick up on the energies and things like that that are on other people. So that's a big part of it, too, of being a light worker, of being a healer, moving forward, trying to help people kind of work through their stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And the way that speaks to us in different feelings and emotions within our body and the spiritual and paranormal as well of voices and inner thoughts and inner knowings, maybe getting around people and knowing what they're thinking, mm-hmm. right? You get around somebody and you know what they're going through, you know what they did last night. And so there's in the book, I kind of give some experiences where Jesus and the disciples kind of went through some of that stuff. They met random people, but they knew all of this stuff about them, and mm-hmm. it kind of relates back to ESP and again clairvoyance and things like that. But you don't hear that verbiage used within the Bible. So,
right,
a bunch of what you know I do in my work is relating it back to the religious community or those kind of in the spiritual fringes of Christianity. And kind of giving them some different verbiage to work through some stuff. And then for those people who have kind of like kicked Christianity out the window or their relationship with Christ and stuff like that because they felt like it is against some of the spiritual aspects of life, mm-hmm. Showing them like within the Bible and the confines of scriptures to where like it's not against this stuff. It's actually for it. The experience with ghosts and beings from the other side or waking up with entities at the foot of your bed, telepathically communing ideas and things like that for you about your life and decisions that you need to make, showing you in the Bible where that stuff's all throughout the scriptures, but it's not really communicated to us through the clergy or through church or anything like that.
So that's I guess, you know, in my experience, that's been kind of the big thing that I felt has always been missing from organized religion is that there's a promise of a spiritual path. There's this promise of an incredible spiritual development and a journey. And what the reality for me, and this isn't me bashing anybody's religion, so please, ladies and gentlemen, don't feel like that. That's not, I'm speaking of my experience. For me, it was like they lacked the tools to do it. So it was just this idea that somehow spirituality was just going to exist because you'd have knowledge of this book. And you'd have knowledge of these stories as delivered in the form of a sermon, as delivered in the form of repeated prayer by rote and eating a wafer of bread with some wine, you know, these symbolic gestures and such. But there was never, for me, there was never the path of spirituality other than, oh, yeah. Sorry.
Get him on the screen.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot to put you up on screen, Drew, so my apologies. But it's like there was always that part missing for me. So it's the promise of spirituality and a spiritual journey without the tools to administer that for the people. And that's kind of what I'm feeling from this work of yours, is that you've created a journey. And I think that that's been really missing, because it's for most people, you hear Christianity and it's very off-putting, you know, because yes. I don't think that traditionally Christianity has been real well represented.
No.
It's been used for power. It's been used for conquering. It's been used to rule and control, and it just has never been presented quite this way that I have come across. And so I have a real deep appreciation for what you've done here.
Yeah, man. I mean, I still encounter it like with some of the interviews and podcasts that I do on like New Age or spiritual or paranormal podcasts and radio shows. When I mention Jesus or the Bible or anything like that, a lot of times I get a lot of deep breaths and people rolling their eyes who are interviewing me and stuff like that, because like there's just really there's like an offense to anything that has to deal with Christianity. And so it's like, hold on, let's get to the bottom of that. Like, I'm really big into healing and the healing modalities and stuff like that, and anything that like kind of draws up triggers. So I'm really wanting to kind of go into like those hard places. Hold on, why are you upset? What have you been told? Mm-hmm. Let me represent Jesus. Let me represent him. Represent him to you, because I feel like anybody who sees Christ in true light for who he really is, like you, I feel like you'll fall madly in love with this beautiful teacher, this being of light who came in the form of love and adoration for all people groups, no matter who they are. And this like overwhelming sense of love and joy and things like that, that we're all longing for. So what, you know, my spirituality represents that, you know, the peace and long suffering and love of God that's communicated through Jesus. But I mean, obviously, many people in the West have received, or just all over the world, have received another Christ. Like, they've received something totally different than that. There's somebody who's a judgmental and who maybe even hates them because of their sin. You know what I'm saying? And so much stuff that it doesn't represent anything fun. And, you know, go to some churches and you have to, like, you can't wait to get out or whatever the case is. But seeing this this encounter with God as a song and dance with all creation, man, with love itself incarnated in the person, which is Jesus, man. And so there's no greater love than that. And it changes everything. It changes everything from being some dead, empty religion and rules and regulations to this encounter to come and live. You know, you think you have life now. Come in and experience life with me and see that you can truly live. Like, there's no greater joy that we can experience the Creator. And so it's like the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people back to the Creator. It's like God's not mad at you. He loves you. He's madly in love with you and wants to encounter you through many different facets, through the paranormal, through the spiritual, through the mundane, through the earth, through the plants, through the, you know, everything. And so showing you this aspect of God in all, and not the God is in our church or God is in our religion, but God is through all. And that doesn't negate Christianity, right? But it is definitely a doorway to experience the depths of the supernatural in Christ.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like a lot of people get hung up on semantics. So it's unfortunate that a name such as Jesus would become akin to a four-letter word to some people, because it's as I stated before, it's been represented so poorly for so long. This being of beauty and love was represented as, you know, this conquering tyrant, you know,
and hatred and condemnation, even. Yeah.
Yeah. And how, you know, I guess really the churches have really dealt with about the most amazingly powerful currency there is, and that's the currency of forever. And, you know, either follow us or, you know, look at Gehenna there. That's you, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, who wouldn't, if that was all you knew? And you there, of course, back then they didn't have an internet where you could go look for answers, and you had those people and that was all that you were allowed to have. And, I think now is a really special time because we have free access to information on a global scale. And how powerful is that?
Yeah, it's powerful. I mean, on both sides, like, it's powerful to your benefit, but it's powerful to your detriment as well. You know, if people like having so much information that they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, even with this Christianity thing, you know, a big part of mine, like, even going Jordan Maxwell, someone who's like kind of influenced, you know, the zeitgeist movement and that kind of stuff, is like, which religion, which risen savior, which part of history do we go back to kind of like personify or worship this aspect of God through, right? And so people are so hungry and thirsty for the truth that there's just so much information and it never ends. It never stops. So it's like, you got to pick one, man. Mm-hmm. You got to pick one. So if like, well, Christianity is a personification of, you know what I'm saying, Mithraism, whatever you want to call it. And so, well, that's taken from Egypt. Well, that was taken from Sumer, and it was plagiarized. Oh, find one that you can practice. There's some type of power that was communicated with us through these practices. And so I'm, like, bidding people, look, try this, man. Like, we're trying to get to the bottom of truth. And even for me, it's like trying to find which one was right. Sure. Well, if Christianity was borrowed, let's go back to the next one. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, structure. There is no, like, hey, do this for – you know what I'm saying? There's nobody still continuing. So for me to look at Christianity now, even like for the most part, some of the charismatic Christianity, they're still speaking in tongues. They still speak. They still believe in like the power of the trance state through the playing the music and chanting and drums and rhythm. And like all of these ancient practices are still being practiced through Christianity. And a lot of the churches today was like, I love it, man. I see the ancient breath like kind of still being carried through a lot of these different traditions, and Christianity is one of them, at least the spiritual traditions, right? Burning incense and lifting up prayers to heaven and casting out demons and like spiritual regeneration and like all of that stuff, which is beautiful, man, that they're still personifying. I think it's awesome.
I think so too, and I really respect that. I really respect everything you just said because, I think that, religion is in whatever form people find it, is a beautiful thing as long as it's serving as a guideway or a road to understanding the divine and to understanding it in yourself and in the world around you and into the infinity of all things to be able to come into contact with that. But unfortunately, there's just such rigid rigidity between the religions. No, we're right. No, we're right. No, we're right. No, you're all right. You're all right, and you're all wrong. You know, and that's okay because you know we're human. There's no one person that can grab all of the truth that is God and just pull it into themselves and all of a sudden, boom, hey, I'm enlightened. You know, I mean, we just aren't capable of that. So we find these paths that fit our journey and help facilitate that growth. And, you know, I think the biggest wonder of religion is that it's man's attempt to touch the divine. The failing of it is that they had to translate it into human terms,
right?
You know, and so you take this divine, amazing, wonderful, incomprehensible force of love and good, and you try to encapsulate it within a vocabulary of limited meaning, and then two people with incredibly limited understanding, especially if they're not on the journey yet. All of these ideas will just get lost and have gotten lost or at least been obfuscated by the, you know, the masses, so to speak. So, you know, I think that that's the pro and con. And getting back to the internet, I would have to say that, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of information, then there's too much. But I think it's kind of a human condition, right, where we're it's still in terms of our society, it's still such a new inclusion into our culture. And as with all new inclusions, people have to find a balance, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and some people never will, because but that's just the
sad, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's sad. I really do think it's about balance, man. I think it's you know, I have to respect the seeking process, you know.
Yeah.
Because I respect like the younger version of myself who is out there seeking and watching Alex Jones videos and watching Cosmatica and watching Esoteric Agenda and watching all these, you know, trying to like get to the bottom of it when it was all brand new.
Yeah.
Remember when it was all brand new to you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot different than it is now, right? But remembering when it was all brand new and just respecting that person who's just watching all these videos. And even one of the videos you guys were playing in the break, the girl who were like in the seance video playing with the Ouija board, and it's like, she's biting her tongue and she's like possessed by spirits. It's like, I remember watching that video, like, is this real? Is this not real? Is this fake? You know what I'm saying? Just trying to like get to the bottom of all of this kind of stuff, man. You got to respect that in people. And like everybody is not privy to the information and knowledge that we've seen, right? It's taken a lifetime to really come to these final understandings. I say final, just at least to where we are now, to where we feel balanced anyway. Who knows in 5, 10 years, 1 year, like however, you know, where we're going to go with our belief system. But I think it's more of a place of inclusion, that we're open to other people's ideas.
Right.
And looking into the manifestation thing, I think it's huge for that, because looking at the manifestation thing, when it comes to religion and belief systems, and what you believe is what you receive, is the fact that when it comes to God or the nature of reality, you find people who have this magnifying glass and they hold it up to life and they hold it up to God, and they're just into this like one like piece of God that looks awesome, you know, to them.
Yeah.
You know, I have Christian friends who are like really big into like the wrath of God and Christ is coming back to destroy the wicked,
right,
and he's going to repay sinners for the hatred and for the damage that they've caused to the earth, and God is coming back to punish sinners, and they're like, their message is this really damnable destruction of God. And like, that's a piece of God, like whether they created it or whether they focus on it, I believe it's legit. Like, I believe God is, or God at least becomes that to them, and that becomes their God, and that becomes their reality. And I got to respect it. Hey, I'm with you, cuz. Like, we got to be careful and watch what we're doing. But then there's other people on the other side, like myself, who was just kind of like, we hold the magnifying glass up to the beauty and the awe and wonder of God, who lavishes his love upon all creation and who wants to communicate with us by any means necessary, through the plants, through the earth, through the air, through our breath, and like seeing the beauty in people and seeing, looking in other people's eyes and seeing the expression of God there. It's like we all have our own aspect of God, but I think that all of it is God. Yeah. Like God is part of the all, and whatever we focus on becomes real. Again, with the manifestation, even if it wasn't real, like even if it wasn't part of this grand master scheme and this matrix that we're living in, like they created it. And there's a sect of people, and there's enough people repeating it, and they're telling other people, and there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who believe this, like this is truth. It literally becomes their truth. It changes the way they think. It changes the way they live. It changes the way they vote because of these different ideologies, because of the way they view this so-called God, mm-hmm. you know. And I still see beauty in that, even though I find that that be so far away from where I am and things like that. Like, I respect their right to believe that. I respect their right until it like infringes upon my rights or my beliefs. Right. Like I respect them where they are, just like I respect people who have chosen the belief in no God. Like they don't have any proof. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, you've not privy to what I've seen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you haven't seen the things I've seen. And, you know, and so I respect everybody's belief system. And I see the beauty in that, in their journey and in their pursuit, no matter where they are, man. And it's just like this all inclusive thing that, like, I really find that that brings balance to all. But it takes a lifetime, I think, to get to that, you know.
I think so, too. But I think that's one of the good things about the raising in consciousness that I believe is going on right now is that not only are people outgrowing, I think, at least it's my belief, people are really outgrowing a lot of the stagnant systems that used to define our society. And I think people are uncomfortable with that now. And maybe that's by virtue of having the information that we have now. Maybe it's some other form of vibrational shift or paradigm shift that's going on a global scale. But it's like we need things to change. Everything that we did for so long just feels like a pair of shoes that's too small, and you just can't wear them anymore. It's just so uncomfortable. It doesn't fit. And I see, or at least I'm hopeful, that we're in a state of metamorphosis and a paradigm shift. And now we have the tools available through people like yourself that are out there teaching and sharing that message and giving people a roadmap to follow, or at least some guidelines that we're always lacking. It's just like, hey, before it was believe in Jesus, everything will be great, the end. You know, and it never works out that way. And maybe that's why those old systems aren't as comfortable for everybody anymore, because belief is powerful, but there is a journey everybody goes on in their walk and in their path, and it really helps to have some guides and to have a roadmap or at least some signs somebody threw up. Hey, you know, lots of curves coming up here, be careful, you know. You know, and then that's what I think has changed.
Yeah, for me, it's been like through religion, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like vocal about Jesus and my relationship with Christ and God and faith and things like that, right? I still have that as a foundation, and I haven't like departed from that. Mm-hmm. At least I wouldn't say. Now, other people would tell you that I'm totally disassociated from that. But I'm able to like still reconcile that back to, even with the scriptures, to this land of exploration through the Bible that kind of lends us to aliens and ghosts and Bigfoot and all these paranormal ideas that are like backed up by the Bible. Mm-hmm. And it's really helping bridge a lot of people into this exploration of the unknown, which is a place of awe, a place of wonder, again, a place of imagination and creativity and inspiration. Like, it's like so beautiful, man. And so there's so many people coming out of religion who are like flocking to my podcast, even. And they're finding just a community, even with the chat like you have tonight. Like, so many people who are into and open to questions and things, and they feel like once we start like speaking about this stuff, it creates a place of where people feel safe to discuss. Yeah. And again, coming from religion, it's a place where you can't discuss. You have to be told what to think.
Right.
And if you think anything outside of that paradigm, then they'll get rid of you. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to ask you not to come back here. At least don't share that with anybody. You know, so for me, it's like, hold on. Like, I still believe in some of these core tenets, but like, hold on. there's exploration, and then and there's validity within the scriptures even. So these, so God isn't against these people who you've told that God hates or whatever the case is, or God's not working with, or God doesn't operate. Like, hold on, I've uncovered some scriptures that you guys have like won't even touch. You know, what do you say about that? So I've seen, like, I have the messages within my inbox of people who are just like, man, it's like it's so crazy. Like it's birthed life within them again, and they felt like God was against them, right? You feel like the creator of the universe is against you because you've had an encounter or an experience, or you smoke pot, or you like to have a drink every now and then, whatever the case is. Like, say, hold on, man, let's look at this stuff again. And so I don't even know. Like, I just feel like I'm saying the things that people are feeling, right?
Yeah.
Especially from the religious end. But there's another end of New Agers and spiritual people who are way out there now, and who have kind of abandoned their belief in the church or Christ or anything. They're kind of coming back to more of a, like a balanced life of, like, you know, reading the scriptures even or anything like that. And like, hold on, man, like, let me, you've kind of like sparked something within me to kind of come back to my childhood faith or the religion of my parents and find out that God wasn't against me. It's like, just off of just the faith to even speak it out or vocalize some of these things that we believe, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're up against the last break of the night, so just hold on to your hats, everybody. We'll be back for another half hour of The Truth Seeker here on the Paranormal Portal. Don't go away. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Last half hour, ladies and gentlemen, of the Paranormal Portal tonight. We're getting lots of good feedback in the chat about our amazing guest tonight. Thank you. Thank you all for enjoying this. I know I'm absolutely enjoying it. And Truth, what do you know about the gnomes?
Man, I mean, what is all this stuff about the, you know what I'm saying, the little entities from the Dark Crystal? You know what I'm saying? Like all of these like wood elves and things like that that people are seeing. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any gnomes per se. I've seen fairies, like light entities and light beings that these little wisp, even fluorescent light blue. I wouldn't. I'm not against seeing. It's just interesting, man. I've never seen anything like that myself, as far as gnomes are concerned.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, hey, as far as we could weave this into your belief, what do you think those are? You said you've seen fairies and things like that. Where does that come from? What are the truth? What is the connection that this has with, say, your, as you see the spirituality of it?
Yeah, well, I think it really just depends on, you know, really what he saw, because I think that a lot of times we see things and we say, okay, that was an alien, or that was a demon, right? Or that was an angel. And it could have been some type of fairy or entity or whatever. But I definitely have done a lot of research and have seen entities when it comes to the elemental spirits of these different entities who work with nature, and they're over the plant kingdom and the rocks and the air and the water and these different elemental beings that show up. I don't know about seeing them in the woods in the middle of the night. Like, I never had any of that. But as far as when it comes to you know, the brother just saying that he thought it was some type of elf or gnome entity, that these are the type of entities that are over the earth and over the rocks as well.
Very cool. I think you're right about that, about them being a part of the natural order, that there's, it seems to me that there's spirits that have different roles in this, you know, this multiverse or whatever, you know, that they perhaps create balance. I'm sure you must have seen that famous trail cam picture of that, what looks like a glowing wizard walking down that path in the forest. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the funny thing is, again, we're talking about manifestation. He said he was studying this stuff. Yeah. He was looking into it.
I know.
I mean, even for, you know, for me, when I had the fairy encounter, me and my daughter, just a couple of weeks before, maybe a couple of months, we made a fairy house in the backyard.
Oh, right. Cool.
This little house where we put toys and we dug out a hole in the ground. And, you know, we made this specific place for fairies to come meet. And then within a couple of weeks, we're in the backyard just stargazing. And all of these little fairies kind of encircle us. So it's like if you create room for it within your life or within your psyche, even you're kind of inviting them to come through. The reason I talk about the mushrooms, it was kind of funny, but like a joke, a friend of mine, we looked at this, this course that these guys were offering. It was like, look, if you come with us, do the 7-day course, and we're going to teach you how to see fairies. We're going to teach you how to see nature spirits and gnomes. And a friend of mine made the joke that, yeah, within after the 7 days, they're going to have you eating mushrooms and teach you how to see these fairies and gnomes, you know, in the other side. So you always got to, you know, there's a when it comes to, you know, magic mushrooms and different sure. hallucinogens, there's like a portal to the other realm as well that allows you to peer into the other side. So I wanted to address that when he called in, just to see.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And you're right, that is really cool. So yep. there's a correlation again to that manifestation.
Yeah, for sure. Manifestation.
That's very, very powerful. Now, I would like to, if you have, I haven't read the whole book, and I apologize. I just didn't have enough
time. Yeah, no.
But
totally.
But I'm really interested in are there any practices to help people throughout the course of the book? Or is it more a philosophy?
Yeah, well, so like the practices are, I think it pretty much just translates like to whatever you're seeking, you're going to get, like
right.
that kind of thing. So if you're seeking any of those things, then there's a whole, you know what I'm saying, plethora of different entities that you can commune with, mm-hmm. right? You can see and they have your greater good in mind. So there's that aspect, like if you believe it and you want it, you can see it.
Right.
And as for a listener now, if you want to see these gnomes, if you want to see these nature spirits, if you want to see Jesus, if you want to see aliens, UFOs, like whatever you believe, you're going to receive it, whatever that is. As long as you can align your faith and the spirit of your expectancy to see that and expect it to happen, you'll will it into your reality and it becomes true, even if it's only to you. That's mm-hmm. the crazy thing. So there's that aspect. And then at the end of the book, there's kind of like this way to like really interact with the, you know, the sixth senses to where like spirits are communicating telepathically. You'll be able to feel empathically entities that are on and around people. I really go into a lot of detail in that at the end of the book about how to experience that stuff as well.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's very, very cool. But, you know, I love how you tie it all together, even including through the course of the book, spirit gifts and psychic abilities. I'm just going through the table of contents here.
Oh, for sure. That's a whole that's a book in and of itself, man.
Oh, you know, I've received an apport, and it was a really cool experience for me. In a nutshell, the story is I lived – My grandfather died before I was born, but before I moved out here to the north of Idaho, I was living in Minnesota and ended up living in my grandparents' house after their passing. And I always, you know, I was very close with my grandmother, of course, and spent a lot of time there. But I always wondered mm-hmm. when I was living there, I was like, I wonder if my grandfather's happy that I'm here. And my grandfather was known for getting up at 5 o'clock every morning, and they lived right on the lake shore of a beautiful lake. And he would go out and hunt agates. And I was sitting watching television one day, and I went to the fridge to get a beverage, came back, and right on the chair where I was sitting was this beautiful agate that I'd never seen before. And it was, to me, it was just like, wow, in that one moment, I was like, I knew my grandfather was, you know, happy I was there. It was like the answer to that question. And it was a gift, but it just came out of nowhere. And that comes up so often in the paranormal that, you know, to me, I'm kind of spiderwebbing off of this idea now, but it seems that whatever these beings are, you know, whether they were the loved ones that have transitioned or if they're some other form of spiritual presence, they really know how to navigate these realms so incredibly and to create these, you know, almost miraculous events. Like, even though it's just a rock showing up, which doesn't seem like a huge thing, but when you think about the mechanics involved for that to happen, I mean, suddenly you're in Star Trek land, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Synchronicity is a big thing. We even discussed it in the book, like, you know, in the Matrix, you see it as like a deja vu of like the black cat that keeps passing by every day. But synchronicity is kind of like this thing that when you get into the flow, when you get into the perfect union, a perfect will of God, that everything kind of lines up for your good. And you start seeing these numbers and repetitive cycles and hearing phrases that you've never heard before, like repeated back to back on television and from your friends and from philosophers and things like that. It's a big one. So it's like when it comes to, you know, ghost or the deceased speaking to you, you know, part of me, it's so weird of like how many levels there are to it and how strong these entities are. Like, are they, part of me sees some of this stuff as imprints in time. Where there was something that was catastrophic or something traumatic that happened that is just kind of like repeated over and over.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Within
the residual.
Like a time space continuum or loop.
Yeah.
And so because I know my wife went on a ghost adventure in New Orleans and went through all the grave sites and plantations and stuff like that. And they said, well, there was a woman here who was killed so-and-so by a hanging or whatever. And she literally saw this young lady jump off of the roof of a house of a plantation. And she's seen it. And it was a ghost. So it's like, it's almost like there's some type of loop that it just keeps repeating over and over when these traumatic experiences have happened. But then on the other side, you have some of these different experiences. Like you said, like the agate that was placed there, my wife, when she sees hummingbirds, it automatically, immediately reminds her of her grandmother that passed, who was infatuated with hummingbirds and feeding hummingbirds. So there'd just be these random times where a hummingbird would show up. And there's these different things that kind of remind us of the ones who have passed on, whether it's a smell or whether it's a feeling or a song or something that's kind of shifted. I don't know if these spirits get to commune with us or show up at will, or they have to muster up enough energy, or it has to connect with our belief or willingness to see them. I'm not really sure, but it's definitely an interesting subject to look in every aspect of the afterlife communing with us now, you know?
Yeah, and I I agree. It's just to me, what the paranormal is, it's like the breadcrumbs, and I say this all the time on the show, so the chat room's probably rolling their eyes now because I'm just being so redundant sometimes. But it's the breadcrumbs. It's not when things are broken. It's not when things are sideways. It's the clues of what's going on around us. It's like the higher truth revealing itself in these little glimpses. And I think there's something incredibly phenomenal when these things happen, whatever it is that you're experiencing or anybody's experiencing. I think that in a lot of cases, it is demonstrating a fluid and dynamic reality. It's not there. The walls aren't rigid. There isn't, this isn't a fixed environment. It's fluid and flowing and dynamic.
I think it flows off of belief, right? Like when we're talking about manifestation, like there whatever you can believe, you can receive. Like if you think you can will them back, maybe you can, you know?
Mm, good point. Really good point. This whole discussion tonight, brother, has been a really cool journey. And I'm just so thrilled that you chose to come on and reach out and get in touch with me because, you know, we obviously, I see so many similarities in the messages that we're bringing to our audiences respectively. But
yeah, man,
I like your unique take on this. And I can honestly say I've never heard anybody deliver the message that you're bringing. Some of the things are similar to other people's messages, but you're unifying some really important things and tying it together in a way that I've not heard before. And I think that's really, really powerful.
You know, I think, we talk about often that, you know, we in the Bigfoot community specifically, just because it's the easiest we can bounce off of, there's the different dialects, there's the different words to describe the same thing, and there's these different ideas that represent these certain words, and these words, you know, are fluid between different people, but some people don't know it. You know, we talk about having a common vocabulary, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, when we finally start putting that commonality, those commonalities together, and we start figuring out that this means this and this, then we find out that they have the same meaning, and we've all been saying the same thing forever.
Yeah.
And then we can become a community.
I totally represent that for sure.
Yeah. Because there was a grassman, there were wild men, there was Momo, there was these regional things.
Right.
And it took a common understanding of what a Bigfoot was to unify that across the globe. And all of a sudden, it was a global phenomenon.
Right. And so what Truth Seeker is bringing to me is he's bringing these ideas and these words together, mm-hmm. you know, because he said represent.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Yeah. You're representing these ideas with these different words and attaching them to the different things that, you know, in light bulbs, you know, some people are just having light bulb moments, you know, and that's, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. So that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's about, man, for sure. Like people are just having those encounters where they are. And so, like, again, I approach this whole thing as this, like, I think we're saying the same thing just from different perspectives.
Right.
We have different wordings and verbiage, and especially when it comes to the spiritual and stuff. So for anybody to act like they are that they own exclusivity to any of these spiritual practices,
right.
or mm-hmm. paranormal phenomena.
Right.
No, you don't. You don't own any of it. You may own that verbiage, but when we get to the bottom of, you know, what you're talking about, it's called many different things by many different people.
Right.
And we have to respect all of that,
right.
you know? And so I've really been able to kind of tear down the walls and the doctrines between the religious community and the spiritual community when right. it comes to that.
And I think it's a journey we've needed for a long time, because I think, you know, in so many things, when we have conflict, once you dig down in it, we realize we have more similar yeah. than we have difference.
Exactly.
You know?
We're fighting yep. over the same thing.
Yeah. yeah.
So I want you to have go ahead.
Well, I was going to say just as simply the fact that, like, religion has taught us to find the differences within us all, to find out, because there's, like, so many scriptures and different ideologies that say, like, you are a chosen priesthood, you are different than the rest of them, there's something peculiar about you and things like that. So there's, like, hey, I'm different than the rest of them. But it's like, hold on, let's look at syncretism, even Santos Bonacci, who's been a big proponent of that. Let's find out what makes us similar to everyone,
right?
Versus what makes us different. We know what makes us different. Let's find out what makes us similar. So when we find out, when we start looking and researching the different beliefs and religions and find out what makes us similar, we're like, wow, we have more in common than we thought, you know?
So I want you to be able to take a few minutes to tell people, when is your podcast on? How can they find it? Where is your book available? I've got the webpage here that I'm going to put up on the screen so that everybody can see it.
And I've been throwing the link to truthseeker.com in the chat every now and then. So,
for sure, man. Well, hey, I want to say just a huge thank you for you guys allowing me to come on and hang out with you guys. I don't want it to end, man. I want to keep going. But you guys are awesome, bro. I'm having fun hanging cool. out with y'all. And but yeah, you can check out all of my stuff at truthseeker.com, whether it's the podcast or whether it's the book and the music and all of this stuff that I have to offer. I really do wear a lot of different hats, but you can find kind of like the hub of all of that at truthseeker.com and check that stuff out. Just interviewed yesterday the mom from E.T. Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
That was way cool. And again, we said this off air, but I am so amazed. She looks amazing. She looks amazing. I don't know what she's doing, but man, she's doing it right.
Dude, I mean, even that, I mean, I don't know, you heard me at the end talking about manifestation. Like,
yes.
What the hell? Like, I remember being a 7-year-old, 5-year-old kid watching E.T. Yeah. And if someone was to come and say, hey, you know, you're going to start a podcast and you're going to interview her when you're 35 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to interview her, right? Like, come on, bro. Yeah. Like, manifestation and creating your reality and shifting your focus, like, oh my goodness, it's insane, bro.
Yeah, exactly. I experienced the same kind of stuff with this show. It's like I've become friends.
Who are some of the biggest people you guys have interviewed just kind of like blew you out the water? Like, what the hell? What am I doing interviewing this person?
We've had Linda Godfrey on the show, which is I've been a big fan of hers forever. Wes Germer's been on the show, and it's become a great friend to the show, which has been really cool. You know, we haven't done a whole lot of huge names, but we've had a lot of really incredible people in the fields on the show, and it's been just amazing.
Right.
These are all people I used to listen to, and now they're like having discussions. Yep. It's like, what?
Yeah, you look at them as this huge expert and they don't have time for you. And then they're like, hey, I'd love to come on anytime you want. Yeah. Like, what?
I think that's kind of how I feel with Don Schmidt. He was on the show last night.
Don Schmidt, yes, exactly.
Unfortunately, I missed it, but that's one of mine, you know.
Yeah, he's a UFO researcher and published many best-selling books on the Roswell incident and cover-up and Wright-Patterson base. And just an incredible guy who did our show last night. We had a great time. But what's next for you, brother? What are you doing next?
I don't know. I'm working on some courses and kind of trying to train people in some of the healing modalities and stuff that I'm doing and getting that out there. And just kind of helping people live their best life and using spirituality and make that happen. So that's really what I'm focused on. It's kind of like using everything that works for me and trying to help everybody embody that within their own life, man.
Well, thank you so much for being here again. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's been an incredible journey. Well, these are one of these discussions I'll be thinking about for days. But I hope you'll come back to the show. Have a great night, ladies and gentlemen. We love you all. Be good. Be kind. Be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other. Find the magic in every day. And remember to laugh as much as you can. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Truth Seeker.
Peace out. Thank you.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.